Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
B-Pod Studios.
They bring you insight like no one else can.
Who cares? It was a bad take.
I've got a million of them.
Zolak.
That's a twerk.
And Bertrand.
We can make a laundry list of horrible takes.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
On the inbound, Horford, Tony Smart. Smart, half court, punched away by Drew Holiday. And Drew Holiday steals game five all by himself. And the world champions put the title belt on display tonight at TD Garden with a 14-point come-from-behind win and wrestle control of the Eastern Conference semifinals right away from the Celtics in their own backyard.
That's about as gut-wrenching a loss you can have. Last night for the Celtics.
Yeah.
It's about as bad as it gets.
The only way it would be worse if that was game seven.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, well, duh.
But
yeah, for me.
a game five is...
That's swing.
In a best of seven, tied 2-2.
I'm going to feel the same way about the hockey game tonight. Whoever wins that is going to control the series, and you're going to be in the driver's seat. Everything we talked about, everything. Like, what are you going to do? Giannis is going to get his. Just negate everybody else. Credit to them, meaning credit to the Bucks. They hit the two big shots they had to hit at the end. They were down six. They had two threes to tie it. And in that span of 49 seconds, turnover, texted it to you guys, turnover, block shot, turnover. You couldn't be any worse on three possessions. I don't know what Jason Tatum was doing in the corner. And I know we've been killing Marcus Smart. Everybody, I mean, Marcus Smart's getting crushed on social media. We got to play him post-game, I think. I think we got to start there. Because that's really where it fell apart, your final couple minutes there. I mean.
14-point lead with 10 minutes to play.
Who's your finisher? Where's your finisher? Why doesn't he have the ball in his hands?
And there are two guys, minimum two guys, that you would expect or want to have the ball in their hand on both of the plays that you're referencing there. So one of them, the block shot,
yeah,
and the other one, the turnover at the end.
One guy wears number zero.
Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
And number seven.
Let Thank either you. One of those guys. Now, in terms of ball handling, I think it's pretty close to a wash between Smart and Jaylen Brown. I'll give you that. But in terms of taking the shot, the baseline drive.
The play design from in front of your bench. I understand going down court, Marcus bringing it up.
I
don't have a problem with that.
Right.
He's your dribble. He's your fast dribbler. But, man. Jaylen Brown at one point was taking over that game again in the third. And then they sat him and didn't play him. And then he vanished. Get him the ball.
He had 16 points in the third quarter.
Yeah. And here we go. I know Tatum got his points. But again, when it's money time, where you at? Why didn't you move from the corner? I saw Al go over to set the pick. Tatum never moved. He never moved at the end. Go get the ball. He should. Oh, my God. Paul Pierce would die for the ball. Want the ball. Do everything to fight through screens to go get the ball. go to the sideline. Go get the ball.
Let me ask you this. Did the Celtics fall apart, or did the Bucks have a great epic comeback win?
I'd go A, more A.
Celtics crapped themselves in this game.
You're up 14. You're up 14 at home. The building's jumping. You know, they were tired. They were gassed. We talked about the energy and Giannis being tired. Yeah, they were gassed. They let him back in. You gave him life. Celtics gave him life. They collapsed. Yeah, you choked. Called a choke. Should be pissed after that game. A tough time sleeping last night. I was pissed.
Yeah, it feels like they lost the series last night. That's what it feels like. I know there are two games left, potentially. I know that they could win
in
Milwaukee.
Right,
they did?
After it, they're like...
I don't think they did.
No, but I mean...
In fact, I think last night, in a matter of 10 minutes of basketball, they went from being, favorites going into the Eastern Conference Finals to this thing is over. It feels like it was the most massive of swings in that fourth quarter to the end of that game. I don't know how they're going to recover from that. Because after the game, they're pointing fingers. What do you mean they said the right things? Jaylen Brown was pointing a finger at his coach for not putting him in the game more. Marcus Smart was pointing the finger at Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum didn't really want to talk about it. He just wanted to sit there and smile and say, yep, miscommunication. They went from a team that appeared to have it all figured out with 10 minutes to play in that game to ripping apart at the seams.
That's from players. Mine was more of a Udoka. Like, yeah, it'll be sweeter when we recover here. We'll be all right. We just got to put it behind us. Get ready for the next one. We can't dwell on it.
Maybe he thinks that, but Marcus Smart having the ball in his hands in multiple occasions at the end of a very important game is not ideal. It isn't.
And the term it as the we. Well, you need a little more personal accountability there. I know you're trying. We all love the fact you were trying to do something. That's sports. That's what you try to do.
Yeah.
I didn't like Tatum's demeanor after the game. I didn't.
I didn't either. And you know what?
I thought he was smug up there.
I think his 34-point night is a little overrated.
Didn't feel like 34.
He was 2 of 11 from 3 in the game. He's got to shoot better. He's a star. You got to shoot better in these games.
There are more, I think, egregious stats to look at it that way, too. Even to look deeper into his shooting and the threes and the... I think it was like a 4 for 19 I saw, but
when you're up 14 with 10 minutes to go, and Jason Tatum just hits a couple more shots in the game, all of a sudden that's a 20-point lead and it's insurmountable. Yeah. And you can even F up at the end and still win the game. But they didn't.
Close out.
That's not how it happened.
Yeah. I want that Paul Pierce, foul line extended, close out, fade away. It's clunky, but lethal. Like that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for him to do that. I know he did it in a regular season. I'm talking, playoff game 5 at home against the defending champ. The defending champ with the best player in the world that is pretty much gassed at this point. That is trying to stay in the game with a cut eye.
Yeah.
Because the blood keeps rolling in. And he can't see.
And I thought allowing Bobby Portis to have 15 rebounds, including 7 in the offensive end.
Nice board. Real nice board there.
The key one of the game in which there were 4 Celtics around the basket, and you have Smart and Brown fighting for the ball against each other and tipping it right up in the air into his hands. That was not ideal.
The offensive...
They couldn't rebound to save their life last night.
The Bucks' offensive rebounds bother you watching that game? Does that...
Madness.
Does that irk you?
Absolute madness.
There were times the Bucks were taking shots just to get it off.
17 offensive rebounds.
The worst part was they took crap shots because the shot clock was going down several times towards the end, and they just took ridiculous shots. But somebody tips it out.
Yeah,
and it's a little reading. Oh, we reset.
Doesn't matter if it's a crap shot. We'll get the board. We'll get another one. Maybe we'll get a better look on the third one.
Oh. Try it again.
Why don't you try rebounding under your own basket?
Pudgy.
I think this is a lot to ask them to come back from. And I'm not thinking that they can do it today. That was such a gut punch. That's brutal. You got the steal in Milwaukee. You came back home. You did what you were supposed to do, and you absolutely dribbled down your leg in the fourth quarter. And that's coaching, that's players, that's all of it. And that's when you look at the game and you say, Milwaukee, they're a team that knows how to win. They and honestly, they look like a team that wants it more last night.
Cedar Bench?
They won the Celtics, and that's the like bad part about it.
Okay, they definitely did what they had to do down the stretch. I think the Celtics started trying to protect their lead.
They tried to run it out
way too early in that game. That's number one. But I don't feel like they don't have a chance now because of that. They had the lead. They were the much better team for most of that game. And to say that they don't have a chance now, no, to me, a gut punch would be Milwaukee going up 20 at the half, hanging on to the lead. Maybe you cut into it 6-7 yeah. points in the third quarter, but you never really get it closer than 10, and they blow you out on your home court. To me, that's the gut punch where I say, all right, start making tee times, everybody. It's all over. That game last night does not tell me the Celtics need to start making tee times. No. They were the better team for much of the game. Finish better. You can win in Milwaukee. Absolutely you can. It's not, I don't have the same like, well, it's over. You can't come back from that. Of course you can.
Win the series. So they get. You think they can win the two straight?
Well, you can win in Milwaukee.
I don't disagree.
Yeah.
And I don't disagree that they can win the game. I don't think
it's
they're
likely.
It's
much like the Bruins.
I don't think they're likely to win the game.
Get me
in
to
fact,
it.
The NBA statistics on this, which they dropped right at the tip last
oh,
night
yeah. oh,
on
yeah.
the broadcast.
Oh, yeah.
The team that wins that game five wins the series 82% of the time.
Yeah.
There's a reason for that.
They did it after the game. I get it.
That last 5 minutes was like old Celtics. The problems that they had to start the year. Whose team is it? You know, who's deferring? You know, who's your closer? Who's your star? Who wants the shot? It reminded you of the old and their actions after the game and the way they talked. Like, oh, no, here we go again. Can they put that behind them is the question before tomorrow.
Yeah.
Can they do that?
Yes.
Can they bury that?
Yes. And by the way,
Jaylen Brown not get pissed at what Marcus said? Because Marcus not get pissed at, you know, what Tatum said.
Giannis is fantastic. He'll be good tomorrow. He's
going to get his.
Listen, he's not unstoppable. You can wear him down. And with enough minutes and enough time and, you know, enough errant arms from teammates, he's getting beaten up. He admitted it last night. He said, I'm tired. He said, this series is taking a lot out of me. It can't go on forever. The longer the series goes, the better chance you have of him wearing down and not able to be as he's still going to be effective. He's still going to be Giannis. He's still the best player out there on the two teams, but there's a limit. You win game six and you put Giannis through the ringer again. Yeah. You just turn me, Beetle. I like the Celtics chances in a game seven.
They got to get there first.
Of course.
Let's see if they can get there. Let's see if they can recover from what happened to them last night. 617.
You don't think they will?
I don't think they will. No. I think the odds are very much stacked against them now, and I think that they're sniping at each other, which is what we're going to get into next.
Okay.
The postgame of Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, all of that on the way. Your calls as well. Disaster for the Celtics last night at the Garden. We'll get into more of it next.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Visit the president of Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
Opinionated.
Nefarious is nautical.
And passionate.
Ignorance is bliss.
Zolak and Bertrand. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here we go. Another memorable moment. Inbound to Smart. He's going to drive baseline. Muscle out. Blocked from behind. Holiday comes up with it. Throws it up in the air. It's deflected out of bounds by Smart. It's Milwaukee ball. Holiday makes the play on Marcus Smart on the baseline.
This is the play that has Celtics griping with each other in the postgame. Marcus Smart getting the basketball. Derek White inbounding on this play. And here's what Smart said about it after the game last night. Pay attention. He's not happy with his teammates.
And what did you see on that last play, too? It looked like you had the open lane to the hoop, and then Drew kind of cut you off there. Did you even see him in your line of vision on the way to the hoop?
No, I didn't see him. It wasn't. The play was actually JT was supposed to come up and get it, but everybody was just standing around. And, you know, we had no timeouts, and it was a 5-second count on the way. So, you know, I just got open, tried to make a play. Drew did a good job of, you know, helping. That's it. Made a good play.
And that is it. Tatum was supposed to come up, and everyone was standing around, and he did. He just stood in the corner. He wasn't moving.
They're showing it here on the simulcast, and Marcus immediately, when the ball goes out of bounds, he turns and looks back at White, who steps inbounds, like, with his hands up, like, what are we doing? And he looks to Udoka, and Udoka's making something, like, with his hand, like, he's pointing over to Tatum, like, you were supposed to come up.
So, do you think
Tatum
he's right?
Never moved.
Tatum, he's right?
I think he's right. I think Marcus Smart is right there.
I think he's right, too. You know why I think he's right? Because we're going to hear the response from Tatum, and Tatum's reaction tells me he knows he was wrong. That's what it tells
me. Yeah, it was a little miscommunication. I guess the play broke down, and you know, Smart drove baseline. You know, Drew Holiday made a good play at the rim. You know, it's as simple as that.
The miscommunication was that... So something broke down where you were supposed to do something else. Somebody was supposed to do something else.
Good follow.
It was a miscommunication.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hysterical. Yeah. No, it's hilarious.
Playing with your hair. Yeah.
God, I'd love for that guy to get pissed off just once.
One time.
Just one time. Be pissed off. Be pissed off about that loss.
Flex on somebody else other than Hill.
His demeanor at the podium certainly didn't show it last night. And I don't know if it's a nervous thing because he knows he's wrong and he's getting called out. It's like a nervous reaction to sort of smile
and laugh. I think it is
nervous.
It is. But I mean, he's not comfortable there.
Maybe not.
It's okay.
Maybe not. But based on that, yeah, miscommunication. Well, miscommunication is typically a word that athletes use to cover up the fact that they didn't do something correctly.
Or what's he want to say? Typical Marcus? Is that what he's thinking?
What? Why? Typical Marcus. Marcus doesn't appear to be wrong on the play. And Marcus immediately is like, what the hell, guys?
He's like, what is going on? We have this whole thing. Look at him. He looks right to the bench and then to White when he looks up. Like,
oh,
what?
And Udoka.
He's looking over at Tatum. He motions to Tatum.
And Udoka's yelling at across
Tatum.
The court. He's not yelling at Smart.
Udoka is yelling at Tatum.
I thought maybe he was yelling at the ref when it happened in real time. I'm like, what was he mad about there? No, he's yelling at his players.
Yeah.
He was not happy. We're going to talk to Ime Udoka, by the way, coming up at 10:50.
Good.
25 minutes from now, we'll have the coach on the line. We'll ask him.
Phil Perry, who is an excellent football analyst, was breaking some stuff down here throughout this game with the videos. And his thread on Twitter, he pulled up an older shot in the game from earlier shot from in the game where they basically ran the same exact play. Al goes over in a corner, picks Jason. He comes down the lane, gets the ball and goes up for layup. Like this looks like, I think this is what this was supposed to be. And Tatum never moved for some reason. Udoka's motioning across the court to Al and Tatum. They're the ones there because White's out at the front at the inbound. Smart's already underneath the bucket. That's a hell of a play by Holiday.
No, I'm not saying it isn't. No one is saying it isn't, but that's...
I thought Smart was going to blow right by him, but he defended him perfectly.
So, I mean, this situation, you don't want Smart dribbling baseline against two defenders. What?
I don't think Smart wanted to.
That's not going to be a successful play.
I think Smart's even echoing that. Smart's saying, nobody moved. I had to go get it. I believe Smart there. I do. As much as we want to hang everything on this guy. You know, he takes a lot of criticism. He does. But
it's just if Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum has that shot, I think they see the defender coming from the left.
I just don't think that he's got anybody to pass the basketball to on this play because nobody moves.
It's such a heads up play by Holiday. He blocks it, gets to the ball. It's on the baseline. He's falling out of bounds. Then he throws it off Smart's leg.
I want to know where the breakdown was, though, that he needed to
immediately do what he did.
Go to the rim? That's what I'm saying. At what point do you see him looking around for an open guy?
But, I mean, that's part of the motion. Like, you've got to, one guy's got to go, then the next guy, and it's, you know, it's got to be synchronized. Smart has to be moving. And it's also on White throwing it into him. See, Tatum never moves. He never moves. Game's on the line. You're the best player on the team. How are you stagnant in the corner, the cross corner? Mind-boggling.
Yep. So, they also had a final play of the game where Smart had the ball on the very final play of the game, and there's a screen grab of where you can see Tatum is open up the court on the far side of the court that, it, you know, I know that Marcus Smart's very much capable of making that pass to Jason Tatum, but it never got that far. Never got that far.
Well,
he dribbled it to half court and he lost it. He got it knocked right out of his hands. Yep. There's a lot of Marcus Smart in the final minute of the game. There it is. My, oh my. He is white. Yeah, and he's... I think he's also dribbling around a defender there to his left.
He's getting double.
It's hard for him to look right.
He's getting double.
Yeah, and he sees it coming. And then he proceeds to lose the ball right in that moment.
There arm up. I got it. I'm open.
I don't blame him for taking up off that left side because you see the opening. Like, you see coming off the screen, off the inbounds,
but
then get your head up once you get to the final.
I also think that if you look, though, based on another dribble there where Giannis is, he's going to close on Tatum. So I don't think it's going to be as wide open if he gets the ball, but I'll tell you what, it's better than what played out.
This is the one, like, okay, we throw the ball to one side of the field, but the other receiver's running wide-ass open and got his hands up, and everybody thinks he's open by 30 yards, where it really wasn't, but you could have gone to the guy. All right.
But now they're at each other post-game. In the post-game, we'll get to Jaylen Brown as well. He wasn't happy with his minutes in the fourth quarter. 617-779-0985. Erickson Wakefield. Eric.
What's up, man? Hey, guys.
How you doing?
One point I think is getting underlooked is 107-105, Giannis is at the free throw line. Just saying, where's Tice? I think Tice with Horford there gives you a better opportunity to get that board. Not to mention, Tice was having a little bit, much better game than Grant. Want to know what you guys think.
Have better rebounders in the game is what you're saying there.
They did it in the game prior. He substituted a game prior that way.
I understand you can't abandon what has been working for you all regular season in the final minutes of a big game. And that's why you bring Grant Williams in defensively at the end of that game. But he was not, he's had a couple of games now where it just hasn't been clicking for him. And when you're bringing Grant Williams in to defend Giannis, why? I mean, it's not as though the refs are going to, go against convention for the NBA for the last 20, 30 years and start calling offensive fouls in the final minutes against one of their superstars. So, you can bring Grant Williams in. I don't know how effective he's going to be, A, and B, especially in that situation. Yeah. And if there's someone else who's having a better night and especially better on the boards, then why not bring him in? I did not love the Grant Williams substitution late for defensive purposes. Did not love it.
Let's go to Steve, who's in Fort Lauderdale. Steve.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, really, really disappointing loss. I could have thrown my TV out the window. So I just believe the Celtics have been undisciplined all year. And a couple things. First, Tatum, a little earlier in the game, he left his guy wide open in the corner. Banged a three-pointer because he had his back literally turned to him because he was arguing with the referee about a call.
Cool. Shocker.
New, right? Yeah.
Him and Grant Williams, I mean, like...
It's like you could see him in the TV screen. He didn't need no awareness. And then you get them giving up 15-foot open shots to back up behind the line to throw up bricks. I know the percentages. I know what the league is now, yeah. But... It just doesn't make sense.
I don't.
No one's there for a rebound. It just blows my brains out.
I don't agree with you on the discipline part of it. I think they've been a very disciplined team for three months. You know, where you know that post game and against New York, where you know they got to talking to or let's figure out what we are. And then everybody got in their roles in the ball movement, especially with the bigs. I thought they've been a very disciplined team. Good rotations coming off the bench, post-trade deadline, trying to fit White into the mix. I mean, I think they've been a disciplined team. I don't think that's it. But, like, the way they played that final 5 minutes, it felt like that's the old Celtics.
A far more technical assessment of the play that led to the commentary from both Smart and Tatum after the game is that neither one of them actually screwed up on that play. It was a guy we were celebrating with just over 2 minutes to play. That would be Al Horford. Did Al Horford screw up that final play for the Celtics? Tell you more about that coming up. We'll talk to Ime Udoka at 10:50.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Visit the president of Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/bet. Basketball terms.
Opinionated.
You like donuts? Nope.
And passionate.
We all know you're not the brightest bulb on the branch.
Okay? Brightest bulb on the branch?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And what were you trying to do on that final play when Marcus was blocked by Holiday?
A weak side action for Allen, JB, and then bring a specific matchup into it to get the matchup we wanted downhill for JP. Got a little stagnant on the weak side. They didn't pass, and clock was running down with no timeout, so Marcus had to go get it and try to make a play.
Head coach Ime Udoka talking about the weak side action for Al and for JB, as he said. Brian Robb writes this. B-Rob at MassLive.com, a closer inspection of the film, shows there was no action on the weak side. Jason Tatum is waiting for a screen, but nothing comes until at least a two count once the inbounder, Derek White, is given the ball by the official. You can actually see Ime Udoka signaling to Horford as the inbound is waiting to get moving. By the time Horford gets going, White is already looking over to Smart just to make sure that he can get the ball inbounded. And that's what Smart alluded to in his comments when he said, we're about to get a 5 second call there. And I think what Smart might be explaining away there is,
He looks right over Tatum. I'm getting the basketball
because we had to get the ball inbounds. That's what he's saying there, that basically I wasn't supposed to get the ball on this.
He looks to
I
the
didn't
bench.
Have an expectation of getting the basketball. He was sort of the safety to make sure he gets the ball.
After it goes off his chest out of bounds, he looks at the bench, then he goes like mumbles, what the, and then points over to Tatum.
B-Rob writes, the Celtics had no timeouts left, so there was no margin of error for White. He made the right play. He had to get the ball in bounds. That's why it ended up with Smart. He writes that Tatum did not throw his teammate under the bus after being pressed about the play after the game, but it was evident that Horford was on the same page with the play call at this critical juncture. Tatum said, quote, I was supposed to come off the pin down from Al. Yeah, that's a little miscommunication. It sounds like Al may not have done enough on the play.
Or was late to engage it.
Right.
Like Smart went too early, then Al went too late.
And things are moving a little quicker at that point because you don't have the timeout. You must get the ball inbounded, and you don't want to turn it over. You don't want to put it into the hands of a Milwaukee
Bucks. Your clock's accelerated if you're white.
Yeah, you're waiting for the ball. And Horford's not moving to create that screen to get Tatum free, so they wanted to get the ball to Tatum. That was their plan. They wanted to get the ball to Tatum, not Smart, and they didn't do it.
The inbounds is right there between Kraft and Wick, right between your two owners sitting there.
So. By the time you can see it on that replay there, by the time Al gets over, the ball's already on its way in. And so as it looks like Tatum's standing in the corner, he could have been moving sooner had Al been there.
Yes.
Didn't happen.
Yeah. And I'm sure Ime's so telling now. I'm sure Ime's telling Derek White too, like, hey, no timeouts. We got to get it in. Like, so you have that, you know. You communicate more there because it's right in front of your bench.
And I know we're spending a lot of time on this play.
Well, this is the play.
But the truth is the Celtics should have never been in this situation. They should have never needed this play. They should have never been in this spot. But sometimes it does happen. And the best teams figure it out in these moments. The championship teams figure it out in these moments. And they didn't figure it out last night. They didn't. It's almost like they play better when they're down. Like, they played better the other night down the stretch when they know they needed it.
Put them down seven with 8 minutes left.
It's almost like they're in a better position that way.
It's like an overdrive. Like, we go to the bucket. That's when they were slashing and moving. Yeah. It felt like a hockey team that, you know, typical Claude, that where you get a two-goal lead and we're going to pack it back in. Or you're playing the Caps where they're going to get a one-goal lead. They're going to pack it in. It's like you started a clock watch a little bit, I thought. It took their foot off the gas.
It feels like they are bad at managing leads.
Okay, that's part of it. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Tyler is in the car. Hi, Tyler.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to say that I think what's going on is Marcus Smart has a trickle-down effect. Or, sorry, Jason Tatum has a trickle-down effect on Marcus. He makes him play hero ball. So when Tatum doesn't have that edge, that drive to go get the ball, if the ball's coming late in bounds, don't wait for the screen. Go get the ball. Go get it. Now you can make Marcus Smart go get it, and then he gets beat up, and then we lose the ball, and that's the game.
Yeah, it didn't seem like there was any sense of urgency in Tatum's feet there. Even if Al was late to come screen him, like, okay, come screen for me.
Should he have tried to take off and get to the top?
You've got to have an internal clock. You've got to have an internal clock knowing we don't have timeouts. We're well-coached. It's very well communicated to us. That's my clock telling me I got to do something to get open. And it's almost like he was bent over with the hands on it.
And the other part of that play is, though, that there was still time left for Marcus to pull the ball back out and try and do something else. But by then...
But he already made his move to go to the bucket.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know.
Because it was the secondary defender that blocked it. It wasn't the initial defender. The initial defender actually put the hands up and fell inside the paint. And Holiday came down the lane to block it. It was a hell of a play by Holiday. I think Smart was concentrating on that guy, and he was trying to take it to the bucket and didn't see Holiday. I don't think he saw him. I don't think he sensed him. That's where Smart gets a lot of his blocks, his defensive moves that he makes.
Well,
and he didn't see him.
Let's talk to the head coach. Ime Udoka will join us here on Zolak and Bertrand. That's coming up next.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app again. Use the code SportsHub. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/bet. Basketball terms.
Here are Zolak and Bertrand.
Where else does that happen?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Celtics head coach Ime Udoka is scheduled to join us at this time. We don't have him yet, but
get him.
Guessing it's a busy morning. Getting ready to continue the series. And we'll go back to your calls in the meantime. All right? That's what we'll do.
Getting ready. Hay's in the barn. That's what Zoe always says.
Is that what he says?
Hay is in the barn.
Tim's in Lunenburg. Hey, Tim. All right, Tim's not there. We're off to a great start in the segment. Brandon's in Boston. Brandon.
Thanks for taking my phone call. If I could be really quick, guys. So this is why I wasn't on board with getting rid of Dennis Schroeder, because Marcus Smart is a careless ball handler. You know, he makes the worst turnovers at the wrong time. How you have 15 points and one assist, but that's a whole different story.
You realize that, Brandon, Schroeder was part of the problem.
No, I like
that's why they traded him away.
I like Dennis Schroeder. I wanted them to keep Dennis Schroeder. I am not longing for Dennis Schroeder. No. I don't think Dennis Schroeder on that team last night changes the way that thing went down in the fourth quarter. Sorry, Brandon.
Chris is in Lowell. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey, Chris.
Hey, so I don't know if you guys can pull it up, but you know, at the end of the game, remember when Marcus Smart is driving to the hoop? I don't know if you see, but in the middle, Jaylen Brown's wide open. If he gave it to him, it could have been over. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I didn't see that.
Yep.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I thought Brown was more out of the way because Horford was in the middle, and he was heading over to go screen Tatum late. We'll take another look at it. But.
Jake's in Boston. Hi, Jake.
Hello.
Hello, boys. I will address the elephant in the room, which is Jared Stidham, in a second. But last night.
Can't wait for this one. I knew it. I can't wait to see Kennedy,
on that front.
Kennedy in Vegas. Let's go.
Last night, Tom Brady, Babe Ruth, Michael Jordan, and Adam Jones after Marcus Smart chokes away a back-breaking Celtics game. That was another level of greatness by Pac-Man last night. And listen, you'll be regretting this one all summer long if the Celtics lose this series. Every green teamer who has washed Marcus Smart's balls for the last 4 months needs to be called out and pants today. You all fell for it again. And if you lose this series, it's a scarlet letter given the mojo you had and the path you had. Scarlet letter on Ime, scarlet letter on Tatum, scarlet letter on Marcus, and Jaylen did play well last night. So, you know, I'm still trying to figure out where he was in the fourth quarter. And then RIP to Kennedy Stidham, a Vegas 3, who will lose her friend group today, then daddy's team gets knocked out of the playoffs tonight, then hubby loses his job in September, but I'm sure his new football podcast, or Stidham's new football podcast, will have like 24 listeners. Here's a tip for Kennedy. Your hubby will be a greeter at a low-end casino come October.
Oh. A lot of rage there. A lot of anger.
Why is he so mad at
the friend? Why is he so angry?
Why do you get so mad? Like, who hangs out? Like,
I don't know. I don't know why he's so angry about it.
But that did them a lot of good, hanging out with the coaches.
How can you bring yourself to care about the backup quarterback like that? Like, he's the third string guy right now.
I think it's a good move for Josh. Because you get a guy.
By the way, he's gone for anyone who is wondering
Stidham's
why
gone to,
he's been traded to the Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, you're getting a guy to be the backup. He looked same build as Derek Carr.
Called it.
Jay Stu called it, I think.
No. That he was done here and he traded this offseason.
Yeah.
You were wrong. You kept telling me, they like him. They like him.
They like him.
Yeah, he's out of here.
He lasted here for 4 years.
Yeah, he's out of here.
With a broken back, never playing.
They're all done with him.
Yeah, but I mean,
they were.
You get a backup that knows the system, so you get your Brian Hoyer.
Oh, Brian Hoyer.
Yeah. Stop with that.
Eli in the car. Eli.
I don't want to talk about last night's game because we can't change anything. I want to look forward to game 6.
Okay.
And what I want to see. Look, I'm a professional pickup basketball player, so take it from me.
Okay, Eli, we're going to put you on hold there before we get into your professional pickup basketball career, because we have to go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline and bring in the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Ime Udoka is joining us now, and he is brought to you by Globalization Partners. Great companies need great teams. Hiring talent anywhere in the world is easier than ever with Globalization Partners. Go to globalization-partners.com and onboard your next MVP today. Ime, how are you today after a tough loss last night?
I'm okay. How are you guys doing?
Good. Do you want us to patch in Eli, the professional pickup player? I mean, it could help with preparations for the next game. We could tie him into the same line here.
If he can teach how to get a rebound, I think we'll take him.
Is that one of your biggest things taking away from last night, that getting beat on the glass was a problem? I mean, 17 offensive rebounds for the Bucks. You can't be thrilled with that.
Yeah, that's been a point of emphasis throughout the series, a way that they really impact the game, and we had done a really good job, especially in the first half in that area, and then, you know, poor job in the second half, and obviously the last free throw box out.
I know you addressed it after the game last night, and you know, Marcus Smart is taking a lot of heat for the inbounds play that was blocked by Holiday, but anything you want to add to that after you get back and look at it? Was Al late getting to the pick? And I know you're trying to get the ball to Jason, but is there anything you would have done differently or wanted that play to go?
Yeah, we didn't execute as, you know, well as we wanted to. We had some offside action, bringing a specific player on their team up into the action to get the switch. We knew how they were defending it, and didn't get into it quick enough and get the ball where we wanted to. So Marcus had to go make a play. 5 second count, you know, counting down and no timeout. So nothing to blame Marcus about that at all. It was really our lack of execution overall as a team.
Are you upset that you were even in that position at the end of the game, given that you had the 14-point lead, 10 minutes to go, and over the course of the next 5 minutes, that lead went from 14 down to 4, and then you're in one of these tight spots when you probably would have liked to have avoided that. So you know, where did that all sort of go wrong?
Yeah, a lot of the things, not only the rebounding, but the turnovers and some of the transition baskets. All the things we did well in the first half, kind of dissipated in that fourth quarter specifically. But we didn't defend to our level the second half, only giving up 47 in the first half, and then a 30 and a 33-point quarter is obviously too high a number. But, you know, to your point, with the 17 offensive rebounds, 11 of those were in the second half. We turned the ball over only twice in the first half, had 8 in the second half. And so a lot of that stuff in the fourth quarter came back to bite us, where it didn't have to be as close as it was.
Are some of those turnovers the result of being too patient? If you could go back, would you be maybe a little more aggressive with that 14-point lead? I understand trying to use up as much of the clock as possible, but in retrospect, would you do anything differently in those final minutes of the fourth?
What we had to do was attack, I mean, defensively a little bit better. You know, we didn't talk about milking the clock or anything like that. That's not really how we play. We stay aggressive as far as that. So the main thing was we weren't getting the stops that we did in the first half, allowing us to get out and, you know, getting transition play faster in the half court as well. But taking the ball out of basket, as I mentioned, giving up 63 in the second half, you know, kind of slowed down our offensive pace as well. So we had to defend better, out a little bit too much. And then what really stood out was the 6-for-6 three-pointers that we gave them in the fourth quarter. So offensively, we still wanted to be aggressive, do what we did in the first half. We felt they're on their heels, especially when we can get on transition, but we didn't get the stops to kind of initiate that.
I know you're trying to get different guys in the game in different situations and that, but Jaylen Brown, with the type of third quarter he had, do you wish, you know, looking back on it, that maybe he had some more minutes in there?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to balance our guys, and we like to stagger Jason and Jaylen as possible, especially when one of those guys is going. So we left Jaylen in, took Jason out in the third, and, you know, looking at big picture, we're trying to get to the finish stretch without overrunning certain guys and playing in the whole second half, so we had to find them a break. And, you know, one thing we've done all year is been confident in the guys that are in the game to maintain the lead or build on it, and, you know, to get Jaylen that break. We're confident that Derek and Peyton and the guys coming in can maintain that. And we lost a little bit of that last night. But, you know, what we're looking at big picture is Jaylen not running the whole second half. You got to get him a break somehow, and you got to stay confident with the group that you have in the game.
You've now been without Rob Williams for two games. What's his status heading forward in this series? Will he miss any more time? And in retrospect, did he maybe come back too early in the Bucks series? Excuse me, the Nets series, that is.
Now we're waiting to hear on how he feels. It's really a soreness issue. Swelling is gone. It's just a matter of, you know, some general soreness that I think you technically have. You're going to have that after some surgeries, but regardless of, you know, the 4-6 window or the him coming back at a 3.5 weeks in. So when you're going through his rehab process, he's going to have a day where he's a little more sore and then it settles down. So even between the second and third game and the first and second game, when we had the 3-day break, it benefited him, but then it started going every other day. Had one flare up where it, you know, got a little swollen. Swelling went down, and now we're waiting to see if the soreness goes away. And so, as far as that, you know, we'll see what happens when he gets reevaluated today. But looking forward to having him back at some point, though.
I was going to ask you about the referees, but I mean, I know you can't comment because you're going to get a lot of trouble. So I'll phrase it this way: is there any football drills that you guys can do that could defend the guy that drops his shoulder and attempts to run everybody over within the lane without getting a call?
I mean, it is what it is, and we're a physical team as well. We understand the way Antetokounmpo plays and the way he impacts the game is by doing that. And one thing we said is he's different than Durant or Irving. Those guys are jump shooters. He wants to get to the basket and attack. And we got to take the hit with physicality. I felt we did that better overall last game. And you just have to play through it, honestly. If they don't call the charge or they don't, you know, they're going to call fouls on us, we still have to be physical and understand the way he's trying to impact the game. And he's a tough one to officiate. You know, you had guys like Shaquille O'Neal back in the day with all the aggressiveness. You can call a foul on every call, on every play, on him or the other. And so, you know, if he tries to impose his will, I think we've defended him well at times. When you look at the percentages more so than the points, and sometimes we have stuff to play through, and obviously slow him down.
Yeah, and off that, I was going to ask you, are you happy the way you're defending? Because it seems like, you know, he gets the eye cut last night. He even echoed after the game, like, this series is really wearing him down. Do you feel you're wearing him down and getting to him a little bit?
Yeah, definitely, especially game four at that place. He had his hands on shorts a lot. The way he's trying to score, going through people, and it's not like he's off ball catching and shooting or can kind of take his – you know, take a easy shot. He's 4, 5, 6 dribbles trying to go through guys in the post or on the perimeter. So we want to make him work as far as that, and we have the defenders to do that, but also put him in actions defensively so he can't take the player so off. And so we can see it wearing him down at times. It's just when we had our chance to put our foot on the gas last night, they made one or two plays with offensive rebounds that got them back in the game and kept them close enough to keep them hopeful.
You know, do you feel after a game like last night, the way it ends, do you feel like you have to not only just get ready to continue the series, but also sort of coach and manage the emotional aspect of it for players after a tough loss?
Yeah, definitely. That's a big part of it. You know, I've gone through some things. You know, I go right back to the game six where Real hit the 3-point shot against us in the championship. And, you know, it's devastating at the time. You lose the championship in overtime, and then you have to get back and get ready for a game seven. And so, mentally, you put it behind you. You understand what you did to put yourself in that situation. But, you know, it's go time. It's one thing that we haven't been dominated or outplayed, or we feel any way that we can't win a game there. Obviously, we've already done that and felt like we gave away a golden opportunity. Now it's our chance to show who we are, our character and resolve, and bounce back from that and bring it back here to Boston.
All right, Coach. Appreciate the time. Best of luck going forward in this series.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Thank you.
Ime Udoka joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. Going into now a Game 6 situation, trailing 3-2. They go back on the road to Milwaukee.
We'll get physical. That. Get physical, man. He's right. They got to stay physical here. They got to keep wearing that guy down.
Headlines here, 90 seconds. We're back with hour number 2. Don't go anywhere.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.